Good evening. The lectures here is 8 o'clock. By mistake, this week it was published 9 o'clock. The calendar changed sometimes by itself. There's no way to explain why. But it's 8 o'clock. When it comes close to the summer, it will become 8:30, but not 9. Today, I want to speak about two things. One is suffering, the second is humility, which sometimes has connection between them. The Torah begins, Bereshit bara Elokim to shamayim ve ta'aretz. Rashi explained, Bereshit bara Elokim, bitchila ala b'machshava livrot ha'olam b'midat ha'din. In the beginning, the original plan of Hashem was to create the world with strict judgment. Ra'a she'en ha'olam mitkayem. But then he saw that people, the nature of the people, cannot handle too much judgment. Ikdim midat ha'rachamim v'shitfa le'midat ha'din. In the beginning of the Torah, you only see the word Elokim. Bereshit bara Elokim, Elokim, Elokim. The word Elokim means judgment. Later you begin to see Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey, the four letters, which is the name of the merciful God. So it's a combination now. Sometimes we see Elokim, sometimes we see Hashem. That's a combination of judgment and mercy. Even today in the world, you find some people that are more to the judgment side, and you have people that are more to the merciful side. Even by rabbis is like this. You have rabbis, especially in yeshivot, when they deep in the Torah and they breathe the truth of the Torah all day without mixing with the world, their level of judgment is very strict. Then you find the other ones, what we call modern, that they're more mixed with the public, with the world, with communities, with the, you know, organizations, you know, different kinds of approach, that they're more into the merciful side. The truth is, only judgment is not good, and only mercy is not good. It always has to be a combination of judgment and mercy. And it's also, you have to know, by talking to a person, how much judgment to put into this person and how much mercy. Sometimes it has to be 70-30. 70% judgment, 30% mercy. Sometimes the other way around. 70% mercy, 30% judgment. Sometimes 90% mercy, 10% judgment. Sometimes 99% judgment, 1% mercy. It all depends on a person. Also with your children. One kid, you must be tough with him. That's the only way he progresses. The other kid, it's not going to work. He will rebel and become worse. This is one of the hardest things in life, to be able to know how to handle people. Even your employees. You can be a boss. With one, you have to talk like he's a little kid. Compliments, gives him a lot of attention. When you criticize him, he has to be after you give him 10 different compliments first, and you know, and you show him how much you love him, and then in the end you give him a little patch like this, and still he's gonna be upset for 2 weeks. Why? His nefesh is very, very gentle. And another worker, you're very aggressive with him. I love you. Keep it up. When I go to speak right after here, I have a lecture to the young boys, 20, 21, 22. There's a bunch of them coming. If I give them a lecture that is pure knowledge, no musar, no strong words, they don't enjoy. You ask them, what do you want to talk about? They always answer, give us, in Hebrew, ptzatzot. You know what ptzatzot mean? Explode our faces with your machine gun. Why? We came here to wake up, not to get compliments. While you're teaching us, make sure every 2-3 minutes you shoot a rocket to wake us up. There are different kinds of people. Some places you go, before you come, they warn you 10 times. Be very just gentle with them. They're very, very, you know, soft and gentle. They can get offended. Don't talk about this. Don't tell them about that. Maybe this one you say differently. Why? They know who they're dealing with. Same things by the women. How many women you can come and tell them the truth in their face about the way they dress? Most of them will get very angry. What? You tell me that I'm not modest? I'm a firm woman. I'm religious. It's basically what you're saying, that I'm actually violating the laws of modesty. What are you going to say to her? Yes, that's what I'm telling you, because that's the truth. You'll never see her coming again to the lecture. Come, let's go to the lecture. No, I'm done with this rabbi. No. Why are you done? Because he told you that your skirt is too short. It's above the knees. But the Chafetz Chaim will tell you the same thing. Or Chazon Ish, or Rambam, or Rav Ovadia, or Rav Eliashiv. Everyone will tell you that. Everywhere you go, they'll tell you, listen, that's not modest. So the people, not everyone is able to accept the truth, unfortunately. So the Torah began with Elohim, judgment. And then after that, Hashem saw, if that's the way I'm going to continue, everybody should be killed. Not one person deserves to live here. So what am I going to do? I created a world and I destroy everyone because they don't keep even the minimal requirements. אם היה העולם נברא רק במידת הדין, if the world was only מידת הדין, מי שהיה עובר עבירה, הדין נותן שיקבל את עונשו. If a person would commit a sin, immediately he will get punished. Immediately it can be an hour later, 5 hours later, but serious punishment. And for every avrera, every sin, a separate punishment. Al af shivkev itcharet. Even if a person says, no. Okay, I know, I made a mistake. Please, don't hit me. No, Hashem, no. I'm sorry. Please, it won't happen again. Be quiet. Boom. That's midat adin. No mercy. There's no such thing, mercy. What do you mean? It's like the policeman on the highway. Please, you know. You drove 80 instead of 50. Please, it won't happen again. Okay, I know it won't. $400, you know. How many times they have mercy on you? 1 to 1,000. That's the law. That's my job. Bottom line, it reminded me. There's one guy, I don't know if he still lives in Queens or not. One time he drove from Queens to Great Neck to a wedding. So inside the car, they had 7 people. Squished inside. You can put 5, but there were 7. Policemen saw they sitting one on top of the other. He pulled them over. As he pulled them over, he see that everyone in the back is laughing. The driver is crying. And all the people in the back are laughing. So he said, can I ask why you're all in such a good mood? So the driver also started to laugh. So he said, what, are you crazy? Why are you so happy? He said, tell me, the officer, if I'll tell you the truth, you promise not to give me extra punishment? He got so curious. He said, okay, go ahead. He said, we have 3 more guys in the trunk. So now the policeman also started to laugh. Yeah, you get the point. So the point is, if Hashem would make it only with judgment, every punishment cannot go without respond. What kind of life would it be? No one will make any sins. After the first punishment, you will never dare to do it again. It's like little babies. If a baby knows that he takes a piece of metal and stick it inside the outlet, he doesn't know what he's doing. And the father says, no, he's afraid he can get electrocuted. So he said, no, don't do it. And he smiled. He laughs. 2 minutes later, he comes on purpose to do it. No, Again, he goes inside. Then the father says, listen, if I'm going to be away, he's going to die. I have to do something drastic. They take his hand. No. Begin to scream for an hour now. That's a sign the father loves him or hates him. Loves him. We understand. When I give this example, everybody agrees. Father loves him, doesn't want him dead. Now, every time the baby wants to do it, he remembers the pain that I got last time. So if I'll do it again, I'm going to get again the patch like this. I don't want to mess with my father. It's too painful. So in that case, how exactly Hashem was planning to make the world with judgment? How? If the world will be only with judgment, after 1 month, now one person in the world will dare to make a scene. Most people would learn from other people's experience. Once or twice somebody stole, boom, explosion. Once or twice he was breaking Shabbat, boom, death penalty. So then nobody would do it. So how exactly Hashem wanted to make the world? Something is not right here. How exactly? Let's say Hashem wanted to make the world in a judgment without mercy, and then all the people would accept it. No one would commit a sin. What exactly is the purpose in the world in that case? Because the Torah says clearly, I'm giving you the good and the bad, the life and the good, the bad and the death, and you should choose the good, the life. Meaning you can choose the bad. But if I'm going to get a patch, how exactly I'm going to choose the bad? Who wants to get punished immediately, on the spot? So if the world would stay with their judgment, basically everyone would be righteous. How exactly the world would be a place of a test? How? How would it be a place of a test? What kind of a test? No one is in a test because everyone is doing the right thing because they're afraid to get punched. It's not because they're righteous. Many, many kids, they are very polite robots. You go to their house, they are very polite. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, to their parents. He comes, pick up the dishes. Yes, mom, yes, father, yes, 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 yes. That means that they are good kids? Not always. Sometimes they have such a crazy father that if they'll tell him no, they'll be in a bed with broken bones for 2 weeks. There are parents like this, abusive, crazy, you know, violent, shaking from his father. He gives him a look. Yes, Abba, of course. Very polite. He's only polite when his father is there. Soon as his father goes a week away, the monster comes out of him. Now you see who he really is. All this time when his father is there with his stick, he knows if he's going to go one word against him, he's going to feel the pain. That's not education. That's force. So if that's the way Hashem wanted the world to be, to force people with the Midat Adin, good question or no? Was it even possible? אם העולם היה נברא רק במידת הדין, מי שהיה עובר עבירה, הדין נותן שיקבל את עונשו, אף על פי שיפכה ויתחרט. Even if you cry and regret, אבל הקדוש ברוך הוא ברחמיו הגדולים שיתף את מידת הרחמים. Hashem got the mercy mixed into the judgment. ולכן מקבל את השווים אליו. יוצא איפה שיש רחמים לשווים ודין לנשארים במרדה. Let me explain. Right now when the world is mercy, does that mean that Hashem is not going to punish the people that commit the sins? Of course he will. Is he going to punish for every one of the sins? Every word, every move that was against the Torah will be subject to receive a punishment guarantee. So where is the mercy? It's basically only delay the payment. If somebody comes to the grocery store and he buys for $50 groceries and the owner of the grocery say, pay me right now, cash or nothing, I don't accept checks. So he has no choice, he has to pay cash. If the owner of the grocery say, no problem, I can take credit card or I can take checks. It will take 3-4 days until you make the payment. But in the end, you make the payment. Do you know any person that feel lucky that when he pays with a check? How lucky you are. One way or the other you pay. What different if you pay right now with the cash or tomorrow you pay the bill when the bank takes it out of your account? Doesn't make a difference in your life? Doesn't make any difference in your life. That's the difference between judgment and mercy. Judgment, you pay cash. Mercy, credit card. But where exactly is the mercy? If in the end we pay for everything we did, unless if we do tshuva, where exactly is the mercy? The answer is, in the world of a judgment, for every individual sin, punishment will come immediately. So therefore, now you know, Hashem punished me for what I just did an hour ago. That means I must fix what I just did an hour ago. So you focus on fixing it. Tomorrow you commit another sin, you get a different punishment. Now you know you have to fix the second sin. Tomorrow you make another sin, you get another punishment. Now you know you have to fix the third sin. So every time you make something wrong and you got punished for that individual sin, right away you begin to fix it that next time you will not repeat it. So for 10 sins, you got actually 10 punishments. The mercy of Hashem is not that Hashem will waive your debt. No. You must pay it, and you pay it sometimes with interest. The only difference is that instead of punishing you 10 times for the 10 sins, he will punish you only once. One time for 10 sins. One time for 50 sins. Why only once? Because he doesn't tell you this one for which one of your sins you're getting punished. With the judgment, you know right away. You made fun at someone, a tree fell on your head. You know, oh, I see, because it's judgment. Judgment is no delay. Boom, right away. You broke Shabbat, boom, car hit you. You say Lashon Hara, boom, a minute later someone speaks against you. So right away you'll know what for what. So it's very obvious. You know what needs to be done. Over here now you have 50 sins pending. All day you talk Lashon Hara. You also broke Shabbat today. You also ate something that wasn't kosher. You ate few things and you didn't make bracha. You didn't go to shul. You insulted your wife. A combination of 50 different sins already in the last 10 hours. So instead of giving you 50 different punishments, Hashem gives you one punishment. One, you lost your passport. All day you're looking like crazy because tomorrow you have a flight. 10 hours of stress. Wow, what am I going to do? And in the end, the kid found it. But you had 10 hours of suffering. So Hashem gave it to you. Now you're thinking, why Hashem is doing it to me? You're thinking. Maybe because I broke Shabbat. Possible. No. Maybe because I insulted my wife. Possible. No. Maybe it's because I ate not kosher a few times today. Maybe it's because of this. Maybe it's because of that. You don't know. There's no way to know. So what do? You fix 7 out of the 10. Or 40 out of the 50. You fix a lot of things. So because you fixed it, that's called tshuva. So the punishment went away with it. You had 50 pending punishments. 40 of the things you fix and you regret and you ask Hashem to forgive you. I'm sorry, I will not insult her again. Forgive me. And whatever you stole, you rent and gave back. And the non-kosher bag of food that you were eating from, you put in the garbage and you say, I'm done with this. I never buy it again. So you already did tshuva. So for the 50 different pending punishments that are standing against you, 40 went to the garbage. Only 10 left, because that 10 you didn't fix. But if you fix all 50, all the punishment went to the garbage. You did tshuva before the punishment hit you. That's the difference between judgment and mercy. And that's the only difference. Don't ever make any other mistake thinking there's another difference. No, mercy of Hashem doesn't mean like some people think, especially women. What? Hashem is merciful. He will understand me. Forget about it. There's no such thing. Hashem cannot understand you and not your friend. If he understands you, he has to forgive all the sinners in the world. If he will forgive all the sinners in the world, even they did not do tshuva, then the Torah becomes a lie. Because it's a chain of reaction. If in the Torah it said that the wicked will get punished and the righteous will get rewarded, if Hashem will take the wicked and in the end will cancel their punishment when they die after 80 years, now they stand in front of Hashem, they have 5 million averot, 5 million sins. 5 million. And their friend, 50,000 sins. 5 million sins, 50,000 sins. And for the 50,000 sins, he made real good tshuva. 40,000 of them he already fixed. Yom Kippur, Chatati, Aviti, Pashati, Tzedakah, praying. So you left all your life 10,000 averot. So a person goes to Gehenom, 1 year in Gehenom, finished the Gehenom, got clean from the 10,000 averot, got clean from the 10,000 averot, and then goes to heaven and he's done. Doesn't have to be reincarnated. He's done. Baruch Hashem is finished. However, now comes the person with the 5 million sins, no regret, no shame, no tzedakah, no confession, no Yom Kippur, no nothing. And he say, Hashem, everybody say you're merciful. I'm your son, I'm your daughter. It cannot be that you're going to punish me now for 5 million sins. I mean, you know, come on, after all, I loved you, I kissed the mezuzah. Cannot be. One chassid told me, don't worry, there's no such thing punishment by Hashem. I counted on his words. Now, what are you telling me, that you're going to punish me for each one? The answer, absolutely. Where does it say it? One by one, precisely. Not this, there's no discount of even 0.5%. Kol ha'omer ha'kadosh baruch hu v'atran, yevatru me'av. Someone that says Hashem is giving up. He's letting go. Let go. No big deal, my son. You're a good boy. No, it's okay. Allah, 5 million sins. I pretend I didn't see it. If that would be the case, at that particular moment, the entire Torah became a lie. The entire Torah became a lie. Why? Because the Torah cannot be true anymore, because it said that the righteous get rewarded and the wicked get punished. But the wicked also got rewarded. They got nothing for the crimes. Even here in a court of law in the United States or in Israel or in any other country, if they have 10 murderers that were in a terrorism attack, they attacked a place and they kill a lot of people. If the judge will have mercy on one of the murderers, 9 of them, death penalty. This one that also shot and killed. You have beautiful eyes. $500 penalty and you can go back home. What will happen in the world? First of all, this judge finished his career, right? And anyone in the nation will have trust in a justice system anymore? That's it. They will rebel. In Israel, as it is right now, approximately 20 to 30% for sure. Maybe it's 50%, I don't know. But to be on the safe side, 20 to 30% of the population do not trust the Israeli court. They don't trust them. Mostly the religious people, they don't trust them. Because they find that they're not exactly crazy about religion, the judges. They're liberal, they're anti-religion. They pro gay rights. They pro everything that is against Torah. And they're against everything holy. So therefore, automatically, you see that justice for religious people in a court not always achieved. So what's the case? Many of the people comes to the court and they say, I don't trust you as to be my judge. I don't believe in this court. I only believe in the laws of the Torah. You have no right to judge me. You yourself is wicked. How can you judge me? According to the Torah, you don't deserve to live. You break Shabbat, you're a gay judge, you're mechalel Shabbat, you have no right to live, according to the Torah. You're going to decide if I live or die? You yourself, according to the Torah, what does the Torah say? Mechalel Shabbat, mot yumat. It's written in the Torah, yes or no? When Hashem wrote it, he was serious or he was playing jokes? What do you think, Hashem is a joker? Comedian? He had a show in Broadway, he makes believe? What do you think, what is the Torah? The Torah, it's a story, it's Shakespeare, what is it? A novel, drama, a movie, Hollywood, fiction? What do you think the Torah is? What does it mean, Torah in Hebrew? Book of instructions, Sefer Horaot. Book of instructions. Instructions are serious. Nobody writes in the Constitution of United States jokes. Did you ever see in any Constitution jokes? Find me one book of Constitution somewhere in the world that in between they were in a mood to write some jokes. Did you find? Nowhere. Why? Every fool understand. Now we're writing the Constitution, we are 100% serious. They swear, they hold the Tanakh, all of a sudden they're religious. Hold, put your hand on your Bible and say, I swear to say the truth. No. So, that's the mercy of Hashem. Not that Hashem will give discount from the punishment. No, nothing whatsoever. Only that now he puts the punishment away on hold. And after you accumulate enough sins, he gives you one strike. Little accident. Bigger accident. Flat tire. Whatever the case may be, pouring rain, you are with your expensive suit on the way to your brother's wedding. Boom, flat tire. Imagine the nightmare now. 8 o'clock, the chuppah is about to start. You're stuck in the LIE, pouring rain, pouring. Your suit is all soaked with water. All the hairstyle that you went for 2 hours, they fix your hair one by one. It's all ruined. What happened? Your shoes is soaked. Wow, how am I going to show up to the chuppah like this? It's punishment, no? Most people think coincidence, bad luck. Then Nell couldn't go into another car, he had to come into mine. But we as Jews, we know every Nell has an address. It doesn't go to your car by mistake. This is when Hashem told the Nell, get ready, he's coming. Shh, get up, rise. Up, the Nell picked up, boom, inside. But Muhammad just passed a minute earlier, the Nell did not rise. Somehow, 500 cars went over that nail today. Somehow the nail fell in love with your tire. And when? The worst time. What happened at 12 o'clock? No big deal, AAA. I'm in LIE, exit 12. Come, sit over there by the store, drink coffee, answer his email. Business as usual. He came, hi Chris, how are you? Fix the tire. Pouring rain, what do I care? Sit in a coffee shop. Comes in, drive. The wedding is in 3 hours, no problem. It's all about timing. המחשבה הראשונה שהייתה לברות העולם במידת הדין. When Hashem had in mind to create the world in a judgment, נשארה לעולם הבא. Remain to the next world. ששם כולו מידת הדין. Over there, everything is judgment. ולפי זה מוסבר. And according to that, מוסבר. מדוע הקדוש ברוך הוא מדקדק עם חסידיו כחוט השערה? From that, based on that, we know why הקדוש ברוך הוא is so strict with his extra righteous followers כחוט השערה. So thin, so precise, like hair. Our hair is very thin, you can hardly see it. That's how precise is the judgment of those followers of Hashem, the righteous one. Kedeita beivamot, like the Gemara in Masechet Yevamot, page 121 says, because atzadikim em bibchinat olam haba. Because the righteous people, even though they're here in a body, they're really not here. Because they are 99% already in Olam Haba. They don't care about the food here. They don't care about sport. They don't care about clothing. They don't care about vacation. They don't care about cars. They don't care about homes. They don't care about anything. They only care about one thing, Torah and Mitzvot, which is 100% Olam Haba. Holiness. He's here, but his mind is somewhere else. Unlike some, today, unfortunately, there are some people that speaks, and they say things that is exactly what the Gemara meant, apikorsim. You see, if a secular Jew speak against Hashem, don't believe in God, I don't believe in the Torah, I don't believe in the oral Torah, yes, he's an apikores. Apikores means a denier of the Torah. He's an apikores. But at least you understand where it comes from. He grew up in a kibbutz, he grew up in Siberia, he grew up who knows where. What does he know from his life? He grew up in Moscow. Over there somebody taught him Torah. Jewish ideology? No, he learned from the communists. You know, whatever he learned over there, that's basically his beliefs. One Bukharian guy, Baal Tshuva, very serious one. He was by me. He said to me, you know, my grandparents, you cannot ever, ever change their communist mentality. They grew up in Russia in such a way, no matter, they love that we're religious. They see the results. They see me, they see my kids, they see what the difference between us and their other grandchildren. They see and they admit. But when you try to change their communist mentality, impossible. There's no way to change it. That's the way they grew up. So someone like that, no. By the way, I want to tell you something. For years, everywhere you go, speakers, especially in Israel, when they speak about Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, everybody knew he was a communist. And also everyone knows that a communism means anti-God. But someone just sent me a video of someone interviewing Ben-Gurion that someone discovered it in the archive. I was shocked when I saw it, shocked completely. And the guy said to him, we made Israel with the help of God or without the help of God? Is it thanks to us? Or is it thanks to God, or is it thanks to both of us? So Ben-Gurion said to him, of course thanks to God. Nothing in this world happened without help from God. Ben-Gurion, the communist. Some people that declare that they anti-communism today don't believe in God like he believed in God. To believe in God is one thing. To listen to him, it's a whole different story. How many people kiss mezuzah and put tehillim in their shoes before the game begin? Hey, Moshe, why are you putting this little tehillim inside your socks? For good luck in a game. Why tehillim and not Quran? You crazy? Quran? Tehillim! Better you put Quran. No, ma Quran? That's Quran for me. Tehillim, it's holy. Why tehillim, it's holy? Oh, don't be too tough. He has no idea why. But everybody says, Tehillim, it's holy. He believes in it. So, לכן, גם בעולם, בעודם בעולם הזה, when the tzadikim are in this world, הקדוש ברוך הוא, act with them, 100% judgment. No mercy whatsoever. Boom. And another one. And another attack. And another problem. And another problem. And he lost money. And an enemy. And a new enemy came. And another one. Not why? With the tzaddikim. With those who their mind is already not in this world. Only in holy things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdek itam kechut ha-seara. Why? Because hem chafetzim baze. They want. Clean me here. Don't leave anything for the next world. I know people, every day they pray to Hashem, help me to do tshuva, and if I didn't, punish me here, not in the next world. And then I know people, please Hashem, don't punish me now, later, not now, later. Later it's a lot harder, as long as it's not now. You know how the kids are? Okay, go to your room for 1 hour. No, no, my friends, go. No, 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 okay, tomorrow, tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll go 2 hours. Not today, tomorrow 2 hours. And then the next day, okay, now you have to go for 2 hours. What, you were serious? Sounds familiar, huh? So, הם חפצים בזה, כדי שיתחפרו עוונותיהם בעולם הזה, ויזכו לאור הגנוז. They would see the hidden light, לעולם הבא, אשר עין לא ראתה אלוהים זולתך, יעשה למחכה לו. Nobody sees this organus besides the tzaddikim. Hashem saw it, of course, and the righteous people will receive it for the future to come. וכך אמר דוד, המלך עליו השלום. We made a whole series of psalms, תהילים, right here, in this shul. Become, ברוך השם, a classic series. So many people in the world listens to it. Most of them non-Jews, because you have a lot more goyim in the world than this. And the goyim discover it on Google. They put psalms, it takes them right away into the series. This is the magic of those search engines. If your website is very popular, every time someone puts a specific word in Google, automatically it comes on the first page. How many people became religious thanks to Rabbi Google? They came to us. I have a whole story that I once said. I have an amazing story. If you go to Har Nof in Yerushalayim, right by the neighborhood where Rav Ovadia used to live, Zatzal, you will find a righteous Chinese woman covered from head to toe, very modest. Few Chinese tzaddikim with kippah, tzitzit, and girls. And a Chinese father with a Gemara in his hand that all day sits and learns Gemara in the street non-stop from morning to night. How did I get there? One day I get an email from Singapore. Singapore. Hello. My wife and I just watched your debate with a Christian professor and it blew our mind. We are devoted Christian for many, many years. We were activist missionary in a Christian church on a mission to convert so many people to Christianity. We were very, very religious in Christianity. And we just watched your debate, and after that Torah and science, and it hit us that we lived in a lie completely, that we were in a wrong religion. So I say, very good. Now you found the truth. I give him some instructions. Then I was very curious. How did they find the debate? After all, they're in Singapore. So I asked him, how did you find me in first place to know about the debate? So he answered that he put the word pleasure in Google. Pleasure. What came out? Striving for Pleasure by Rabbi Mizrahi. From the website. Everyone is anxious for pleasure in this world, running after pleasure. So I'm curious. He clicked play and he started to listen a few minutes. He liked it very much. He called his wife. For 1.5 hours, they watched that lecture. Then they see on the side, you know how it is by YouTube, you see on the side, debate against Christian professor. Oh, and they are very Christian, these guys. Right away they click, they got the shock of their life. One thing leads to another. He said to me, I heard that you're speaking about giving out free CDs to make Jews closer to God. Can I help? Right away, he started to send money every month to make Jews listening to CDs. Then I sent them to Australia there to convert. They converted. After a few months, he said, we decided that We no longer have what to do here in Singapore. So where you suggest that we should move to? I said Jerusalem is good because there's a lot of English speakers there. You'll find some friends. We send him to Yerushalayim. They got an apartment in Har Nof. He gave up a successful business. That's a perfect, classy, real convert, like Hashem really wants. Gave up the business, gave up all the contract, whatever he was making there. Was successful over there in Singapore. Went to Yerushalayim, Gemara all day. Biggest Kiddush Hashem. You see, when you look Chinese, you cannot hide the fact that you're a convert. If you were Italian, nobody knows you were born non-Jew. Now you're a Jew, you have a beard, peot, black hat. You look like, a Jew from birth. Or German, with peot and beard, with black hat. Look like an Ashkenazi Jew. But Chinese or black people, obviously people right away know that's a convert. That's increased by a lot, the Kiddush Hashem. Some people, they don't like to be white. Some people, they don't like to be black. Some people, they don't like to be oriental. Everyone with what his dream is. But those who do not like the fact that they're black, for instance, and if those who converted, even though it gives them some hard times because some people are prejudiced in this world, unfortunately, but they don't know that by looking like a convert, meaning people recognize it, every place they go, they actually earn the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. If he looks regular Jew from birth, it's not Kiddush Hashem, that he goes with Gemara in a black hat. Like this, you have millions, 100,000. What? Nobody is impressed. If you see a person walking Main Street with a Gemara in his hand, you are impressed? No. But if you see a black person walks in the street of Main Street with a beard and peot and black hat and a Gemara, you're very impressed. Whoa, he's much better than me, this guy. I was born, my father is a rabbi, and look at me and look at him. Or the Orientals. That's many examples like this. So they actually earn Kiddush Hashem. On one hand, there are these people with a dark mind that they cannot accept someone that is different than them. So obviously they feel the tension sometimes. On the other hand, they get Kiddush Hashem. Which one is better, you think? The amount of suffering that they get here and there from some people or from behaving of people is nothing compared to the 1 hour Kiddush Hashem they earn. So in the end, other ones that nobody knows that they're converts, they don't get Kiddush Hashem. They get the mitzvot, but they don't get Kiddush Hashem because nobody knows. But if people knew that you're a convert and they look at you and they say, wow, look at this person, what a tzaddik he became, or tzaddeket, they are so impressed. Today we had a conversion here in the Beit Din. Every one of the goyim that came, the rabbi, the Av Beit Din, he said to me, where do you find these angels? It's hard to believe. You have to see how they know everything, all the tests by heart, ta, 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 like machine gun. All the 13 principles, all the 39 milachot of Shabbat, all the 10 commandments, the difference between these and these. I'm embarrassed to say, many of the Jews don't know it. I'm embarrassed to say it. Because they learn for a long time. They learn. They come ready. Modesty is modesty. And they all cry. I don't remember one conversion that the converts did not start to cry. They cry. Today the woman said, since I was a kid, I had this vision that I'm lighting a menorah. I was a goya, what do I know about menorah? Always looked at myself lighting menorah. Who knows? Could be that they're Jewish bechlal from previous life, who knows? Bottom line, by the way, you should know that the Gemara said that kashim gerim l'Israel kasapachat. The converts are hard for the Jewish nation, like a skin cancer or a rash. Why is it? Because one of the reasons is because they become so righteous, it makes the Jews that are Jews from birth look pale compared to them. Look at this, look at this. Look at this modern Jew. Scared. Very, very tight and short. You see her skirt? Mamash, like a wedding gown, very wide. Kisui Rosh, not half hair comes out. $10,000 wig, sweeping the floor when she walks on the street. Movies, don't worry, it's PG-13. The convert, Chas v'shalom, no one computer, no one internet. You see, so the Satan is making a party out of it. Rosh Hashanah, the Satan comes and say, look at this and look at his neighbor. Every day you see the convert, how he is, how serious he is, or how serious she is. And him, nothing. He's doing us a favor that he agreed to put tefillin in his bedroom 1.5 minutes a day. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. Do I really have to say until Hashem Elokeichem Emet? It's too long, Rabbi. It's 1.5 minutes. It's too much. Rabbi, life is hard as it is. You're too strict. You're too strict. You know, they brought the conversion test to the Prime Minister of Israel, Ariel Sharon. Did you hear about that? It's 50 questions that they asked the converts in a Beit Din in Israel. Where did the Jews accept the Torah? I'll give you some of the questions. What is the day that Judaism began? What country the Jewish people were slaves before they got the Torah? Who are the three fathers and the four mothers of the Jewish nation? You understand? How many temples the Jews had and how many of them exist? Question of pre-1A. They gave them to the people in Israeli Knesset. Most of them failed. The Prime Minister of Israel back then, Sharon, he said, it's outrageous! How do you give such hard questions to the convert? You can Google it in Hebrew. And the religious people in the Knesset were going like, you know, pre-1A, every little 5 years old knows these questions. But they didn't know. When you don't learn Torah, what do you know? You don't know anything. וכך אמר דוד המלך עליו השלום, טוב וישר השם, השם is good and straight, על כן יורך חטאים בדרך. השם is good and straight, and that's why he will direct the sinners to the right path. What's the connection? The fact that Hashem is good and straight, that's the reason why he pushed the sinners back into the right path. לכאורה תמוה. It's a surprise. הרי אדם טוב לא יכול להיות ישר. Straight and good is two contradictions. If you go by your heart, your good heart, for sure you make mistakes every day. You have mercy on wicked people, which is against the Torah. You give donation to people that eat not kosher, or you give them money and in front of your eyes they buy kosher, non-kosher food. That's not a mitzvah. Many, many things. Your friend wants to use your car, so he's using it on Shabbat, because he knows you're not going to use the car. So your heart cannot say no. So you actually, by being good heart, automatically you make a lot of sins. Right? I remember when I used to live in Manhattan, in the beginning, I went to a shul in Manhattan somewhere. The rabbi over there was extremely, extremely a tzaddik. Very, very big tzaddik. Baal midot, an angel. I came to him. I said to him, Rabbi, look how people talk in the shul on Shabbat. There's such noise. Why don't you say anything? I read in a book, that if a rabbi of a community let the people commit sins inside the shul, he's responsible for all their sins. You're not afraid? I saw his face became red like a tomato, literally like a tomato. And he said to me, I want to let you speak. Say it here. His nature was so good, his heart is so good, he cannot tell the people in his shul to be quiet or you're committing a sin. He just cannot do it. Why? It's against his nature. He knows that what they do is horrible. He knows it's a very big sin. So he asked me, I was 25 or 26 years old, to speak to them and tell them how hard it is and difficult it is to speak in the shul. You understand? Why is it? Because good, being too good, is very difficult for you to tell people to stop or to argue with them and to fight with the wicked. It's not easy to fight with the wicked. So he's asking a very good question. Are Adam Tov lo yachol liot yashar? Person that is good cannot be straight. V'chen lehefech, Adam yashar lo yachol tamid liot tov. If you're honest, you're an honest judge. The person is crying, screaming in a court, please, I'm begging you, I have children, don't put me in jail, please, give me one more chance. He's screaming. If you are extremely good heart, you begin to cry with him. Okay, no, leave him. I'm going to give him one more chance. He cannot be honest. He cannot be straight. It's too contradiction. The question is clear or no? Who thinks he knows the answer? Yeah?
What we consider good versus what the Torah considers good, it goes, if the Torah considers good, that's more yashar. To follow the Torah is good is like yashar, but not the way we do it.
Let's see if you're right. Lemashal, for instance, Ashir ve'ani ba'im ladin, poor and rich come to the judgment. Im nifsak adin sha'tzedek im ashir ve'ani chayav leshalem, if the wealthy is winning the case against the poor, arel arash en kol, the poor person will be on the street. There's nowhere to sleep. The landlord is right. He doesn't pay the rent. A victim to the street, 0 degrees outside, that's the law. I have to be honest. I'm a judge. Ech yifra chovo, the poor doesn't have how to pay. Nimtza shomnam adayan yashar, the judge is fair. He's evicting the poor to the street to freeze to death. That's the law. He's honest. He's straight. He sticks to the rules. But can you say that he has a good heart? It's a contradiction. אבל טוב אין כאן. ושאף שהוא צודק מכל מקום, אני מצטער. Even though the judge is right, but people feel bad about it. What a cruel judge. That's a contradiction between the mind and the heart. The judge did what the law required, but people still hate him for that. They hate him for that. This is the judge that threw that person to freeze to death. What do you want him to do? That's the law. The cruel one wasn't the judge, the one that wrote the constitution, maybe, if any, should complain to him, not the judge. Sometimes judges, they write in their verdict, if it was up to me, I would let him go free. But the law forced me to give him minimum 3 years in prison. They write, or the other way around. I have a friend, a judge in San Diego. He once told me, I had a case, I wanted to put the guy in for 20 years in prison, but the maximum by law was 4 years. When I sentenced him to 4 years, believe me, I felt, I wish I can put him 20 years in prison. Why? That's what he deserved. That's what he deserved. Why? So, throughout the testimonies, he discovered that we're dealing with the biggest monster on earth, what he does to people, but that wasn't the case. Cannot judge him for things that the prosecution did not bring. While the trial is going, I found out that he's doing this and he's doing that and he did that, and enough evidence already to put him in 20 years in prison. But the law is to judge him by what the prosecution brought to justice. Now you want to start a new case, that's not my job. I'm only a judge, I'm not a prosecutor. You have to stick to the rules. So what's the answer? How David HaMelech say, Tov v'yashar Hashem? The answer, Hashem is different than people. What's the difference? He can do two of those things together. It can be good and straight at the same time. How can it be? We just say it's a contradiction. Sheim adam avar averot. If a person commits sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'orer oto mitardemato. Hashem wakes him up from his sleep by sending him suffering. Ve'nimtza sha'isurim ha'elem letovato. Then Hashem sends him the suffering to wake him up. Ve'achar shechazar b'tshuva, after he makes tshuva, now Hashem gives him his reward, and that's being straight. So how Hashem is being good? By waking him up. It's exactly like, imagine you have a friend that is a judge, and he finds out that the prosecution submitted a lawsuit against you, and he calls you up. And he says to you, listen, you're in a very serious jeopardy. You better start doing now in the next few months a lot of charity and do good and this, that when you come to the court, you will have what to show. So actually, the judge made him good by telling him what to do. Now when he comes, he's already showing, yes, I did something bad, but look how much good I did. So they give him, you know what, you get service in a hospital 6 months and you go. But if the judge wouldn't tell him, he will get 5 years in prison. So what do we see here? To wake up a person before he's judged is a mitzvah. And Hashem does it by sending a person suffering. Suffering. אחר שחזר בתשובה מקבל שכרו ביושר, ובדין ושלו הוא נוטל. And he gets what he deserves. And that's what the pasuk say, טוב וישר Hashem. על כן יורך חטאים בדרך. Until, by the way, Hashem direct the sinners to do תשובה, to the right direction. While he's pushing you to be straight, he's also forgiving your sin. Same one. The judge is also the one that recovers you. I know one kid that was caught with some drugs on him. And that's in New Jersey over there. It's much, much harder than New York. And he was subject to 2 years minimum in prison. It wasn't the first time. Top. So when he went there, in the beginning, his trial looked very bad. Then all of a sudden, he came for the second or the third time, and now it's already going towards the end of the case. All of a sudden, the judge say, forget what happened until now. Young man, I want to ask you a question. I'm willing to forget everything. I don't want to send you to jail. What's the point? Do you know that this week I dismissed two cases like you? Ask me why I dismissed it, the judge told him. And the young boy said, I have no idea why I dismissed it. He said, because there are two boys your age and they both dead. They both died this week. So I dismissed the case. I hate to see that you're going to be the third case. Do you want to really save your life? And stop with your nonsense and go to rehab and stop touching drugs and definitely not to use it? Or you want me that I'll put you in jail and you come out again and in the end you're going to either be dead or who knows, 20 years in prison. That's going to be your end. You want to take the opportunity that I'm giving you? Tell me right now. Because if you tell me yes, you must do it. All of a sudden, the judge became an educator. It's not his job. But he saw, it affected him. He saw this, how kids in this country die before they become 20. And the boy say, yes, yes, yes. And the judge let him go, dismissed everything. And he went to rehab. And in the end, it was the right decision to be made. Could have been that the boy would ruin it and go back to this. And the next time, Hashem Yirachem, what would be with him? But here is an example how Hashem does it with us. I can finish you now. You have plenty of sins already, as it is. But I don't want to finish you. I want to give you a few smacks to wake you up. But also at the same time, I'm going to give you help. All of a sudden, the rabbi calls you for shiur, someone gives you CD. I get every year, few hundred emails from people, maybe even few thousand, I don't know how to count, but many, many emails, that people received my CD in the hardest moment of their life. That someone hand them the CD, and that's what was the turning point in their life. That they were so low and down and depressed, and they gave up on life. And, you know, either they lost all their money, or they just went to jail, or all kinds of things like this. And after they started to listen about the way the world works, and Hashem, and the Torah, and Olam Haba, and everything here is a test, and the more you suffer here is actually good for you, it changed the way completely that they think. Yesterday a woman said she lost her son. 1 month she was totally dead, depressed. Somebody gave her the CD. She started to listen slowly, slowly. She came out of the depression until she became very, very religious. And now she's very happy. And now she had another kid. There's one Arab in Brooklyn. Goy. Arab. Started to send me emails how the lecture saved his life. Why? He had a 25 years old son that died in a car accident. Imagine you raise a kid 25 years old and he goes and dies in an accident. So it's a killer. How many people can move on with their life? And after he found my CD, Life After Death, started to listen to it, it mamash brought him back to life. And he even came to the lectures in Brooklyn once or twice. The power of the Torah can heal the mind, can heal the heart, can heal everything in the body. Can heal everything in the body. There's one kid, one religious kid in Israel, 1 year ago, he had cancer, 16 years old. They wanted to send him to chemo, he refused. The whole country was talking about it. If the judge has permission to force the treatment on him or to let him die. The kids say, I don't want chemo. I want Hashem to take care of me. If he wants, he save me. If not, I'll die. I don't want doctors. I don't want chemo. I don't want all this. And then everybody say to him, no, you have to try to save yourself. That's the only thing we know right now, how to save someone. In the end, the judge forced him to accept the treatment by force. And guess what happened? What happened? Huh? Today they published that he won against the cancer. He came out of it. It's clean, Baruch Hashem. Imagine if he would go his way. He'll be dead probably. So here you go. Sometimes you can force a person to treat himself, to get the treatment by force. Just because a person is a fool and he doesn't want to get cured, Leave me alone. Not always you can listen to him. If a person asks, when I die, burn my body and spread the ashes all over the ocean, that the fish will eat me up. His son is allowed to listen to him? There is an obligation to respect the wish of the dead. Whatever he writes in his will, give this house to my son Moshe, give the store to my son Yitzchak. You must do it. But he's not here to protest. Who cares? Let's do whatever we want. You must respect his request. But what happens if he say, I want you to cremate me, throw me or put me in a closet or in a jar, on a shelf, all kinds of things that some people do, and some of them are Jews even. You're not allowed to listen to him. Because we know according to the Torah that someone who was not buried doesn't have a rest. His soul suffers constantly. The soul doesn't have a rest until the body is dissolved in the ground. Me'afar bata ve'la'afar tashuv. There's a verse in the Torah. You came from the sand, you must return to the sand. That's how you close the circle. If you are in the ocean, they throw you somewhere, you don't have rest. Your spirit doesn't have ever a rest. If you're in a jar on a shelf, you don't have a rest. when you're going to have rest, when this son, the genius son of yours, will take the jar and bury it in the ground, deep in the ground, and cover it, that's when the spirit will have a rest. As long as he's not buried, the deceased person does not have a rest. Time is running out. Let's just conclude here. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot, page 54. Chayav Adam levarech al hara kishem shemevarech al hatova. Person has to bless Hashem for the bad, just like he blessed Hashem for the good. Same level. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for the flat tire. Thank you for the total loss. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for the disease. Very difficult, obviously. On one hand, it says that there's no bad from Hashem. So what does it mean a person has to say a blessing for the bad? There's really no bad. Everything's good. You just don't understand, but it's good. So why they say for the bad? Person has to bless for the bad. It means what looks bad. What looks bad in the eyes of a person right now, even though you are convinced 100% that it's bad, it's good. But since you think it's bad, say a blessing for Hashem. Thank you for this punishment. Thank you for this loss. Sharei im yesh lo avonot begilgul hazeh, if he has sins in this life, or begilgulim acherim, or in previous lives, kedai lo lisbol isurim ba'olam hazeh kedai lechaper alehem. It's very good for him to suffer in this world, because it cleans him from all his suffering. Because the punishment in the next world are much, much, much worse. That's why I always tell people, when they tell me, why Hashem doesn't punish these wicked people who fight the Torah, who make up lying internet, who makes fun at rabbis, who fight to cancel events and to spread Lashon Hara, why Hashem doesn't punish them? The answer is, if Hashem would love them in any way, these wicked people, he would punish them now to make them enough opportunity, to give them enough opportunity to make tshuva. The fact he did not punish them, that shows that they have no share to the world to come. And Hashem wants them to make their punishment in the next world a lot worse. So he let them continue. He does not stop them. But if Hashem loves someone, he does everything he can to save him from the sin. Where does it say it? Kol hamzakeh harabim en chet ba'al yado. Someone that saves the children of Hashem, Hashem has a special protection on him not to commit a sin. They serve food on a table and one dish was not kosher. The owner of the house made a mistake. They bought it somewhere and they thought it's kosher. And they put it over there and he didn't see it. If he would see it, he would eat from it. Or he took one olive from there and it fell on the floor and he was embarrassed already again to take another one, so he didn't eat. He comes to in the next world. Do you remember that when you went to the house of this person, the olive fell on the floor or the jar broke? Yeah, yeah. Do you know why? Why? I made it fall from your hand because it was made with wine that was Yain Nesech. They put wine, vinegar, whatever, and it wasn't kosher. I wanted to save you from the sin, so I made it slide from your hand. Or that the person that was sitting next to you with a big appetite took the last three pieces. So why he is yes and me no? Because you I wanted to save, and him I didn't want to save. Why I didn't want to save him? Because there is a rule. What's the rule? Al itenu la rasha ve'yamot. Did you hear it or no? If a person reaches a high level of wickedness, Hashem feed him more. He eats pork, pork, pork. Hashem brings more porks in his way. Nice. Why? Do it. Do as much as you want. Here is more, more, more. But don't worry, everything is written. You understand? So, V'haya ma'aseh be'adam ba'al isurim kashim. One person had a horrible suffering. Oh, by the way, you should know one thing. The Gaon Rabbeinu Zalman, he was the first Chabadnik. Rabbeinu Zalman, what book he wrote? Who knows? Tanya. The most important book in Chabad movement is Tanya. Every Chabad place is Tanya, Tanya, Shiure Tanya, they teach Tanya. That's one of the main books in the movement of Chabad. So the Baal, so Rabbeinu Zalman, Zatzal, Besefer HaTanya, Igeret HaTshuva, Perek Yudbet, 12th chapter, in the name of the Ramban to his introduction to the book of Job, Yov. Afilu Isurim Shel Yov 70 Shana, the suffering of Yov. Yov had the most horrible suffering you can imagine. His children died, diseases, he lost all his money, his friends ran away from him. Couldn't be harder life than this. 70 years of suffering of Yov is not even reaching 1 hour of the suffering of the soul in hell, in Gehenom. 1 hour in hell is already worse than 70 years of suffering of Yov. Who wrote it? The first authentic, holy, righteous Chabadnik, the founder of Chabad, Rabbeinu Zalman, Rav Shneur Zalman. You understand or no? Sefer HaTanya. Sefer HaTanya is one of the legends in Judaism. It's not just another book. It's very, very deep Kabbalah there. I always wonder how the Chabadnikim teach Chilonim that barely read Hebrew, some of them. They take them right away to Shiur Tanya. It's a very high level Shiur. Even for people that know a lot of Torah, it's hard to understand. It speaks about very heavy material over there. I don't know the answer to this question, but one thing I do know, that not only him, I saw in a book of the Lubavitch Rebbe, that he speaks about the punishment of the wicked people in Gehenom. He did. Today, for whatever reason, there are some people who hide that. They don't want to talk about punishments. They don't want, for them, everything, Hashem is merciful, no one gets punishment, there's no such thing going on for them. I don't know. If you are Chabadnik, you have to follow the founder of Chabad, no? The ones who wrote what Chabad is. You have to follow the words, you cannot modify it. In Judaism, it's a very big problem to modify the books. Yesterday in my lecture, I show in a book of the Ben Ish Chai, there was questions and answers. What did they do? They ask Ben Ish Chai a question, if a person is allowed to cut his beard, to trim, in scissors with a machine. Back then, they didn't have electric machine like today. We're talking 100 years ago. So people used to trim it either with cream or with scissors or with a razor, but not touching the roots. Like this, in the air, cutting it like this. So the Ben Ish Chai say, based on the words of the Ari, that it's allowed. What's not allowed is to pull the hair with the root out or to cut on the root. The root is about 1 or 2 millimeters inside the skin. If you pull the hair out, the root comes out a little bit, and then if you put it, shave it with a razor, that's a sin. But as long as you cut above the root, anywhere, if you have a beard, you cut it, you trim it, and today with the machines, haircut machines, whatever, when they trim it, it doesn't ever get to the root. So the Ben Ish Chai, which was one of the biggest Kabbalists in history, was the number one expert in Kabbalah in the world back then. And the Kabbalah holds very highly of the beard. And that's why the Hasidim holds very highly of the beard. If you don't have a long beard, you're not a Hasid, Habibi. You want to be a Hasid, that's one of the main things, to have mamash, a serious beard. So where does it come from? It's not written in the Torah, you must grow a long beard. It just says, "Lo tashchit ve'ad zkancha." Don't destroy the roots of your beard. So what happened? The people that lived in the Ben Ish Chai generation, they cut it out of his book. Because they disagree. They couldn't contradict him, because he was a very big chacham. They had respect for the chacham. No one would dare to say, "I disagree with your ruling," or whatever. So they say, you know what? Since we cannot contradict him, he's the big chief rabbi of Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and all these areas over there. So what happened? And the next edition, they cut it out. No tolerance. Someone answer from the Torah, and it's very, very big chacham in the Torah, and it's different than yours. So what's, it's not the end of the world. There are many different opinions according to halacha. So what? He says it's allowed, you say it's not allowed. That's the way the Torah is. 2,000 years of arguments. Next thing, maybe you go and kill him, that he won't be able to answer questions anymore. That's what people do today. They ruin your reputation, that's like killing you. Why are you asking him questions? He allowed this and this and this. That's what they did to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal. Some people didn't like his ruling. He's too lenient on this, he's too lenient on that. So what did they do? Fought him nonstop. Some people did not like the ruling of Rav Ovadia Yosef. Why? He disagreed with the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish for them was the biggest rabbi, and he was a giant chacham and holy man. My grandmother was working in his house for a few years, of the house of the Chazon Ish. You understand? So Chazon Ish was a very, very big giant chacham, no question about it. But Rav Ovadia highlighted the tradition of the Sfaradim and some of the things that the Sfaradim do different than the Ashkenazim in Bnei Brak. And what did they do to him? They fought against him in Bnei Brak for years. They never forgave him for contradicting some of the rulings of the Chazon Ish. What is it? What, the Torah, it's politics? If a person is a big chacham in the Torah and he shows you how he reached his verdict and his decision, that's holy just as much as your rabbi. Even if your opinion thinks that your rabbi is more right, it doesn't mean he's less than your rabbi. And if somebody else says something in his chacham in the Torah, you have to learn to respect him, even if he doesn't wear the hat like your group, or you wear a different hat, or he doesn't wear a hat, or whatever the case is. And that's what many Jews do not understand. There's no tolerance one for each other, and that creates sinat chinam. I was one time in a wedding of a friend of mine, and he's a Sfaradi. Sfaradi. And my cousin is a very big Sfaradi chacham, very big, one of the biggest in the world. And he was a very, very serious student of Rabbi Zion Abba Shaul Zatzal, which was the biggest chacham in the world. So one time, there was a wedding in Israel. And my cousin came to see me there, in a wedding. And I asked him to be a witness in a ketubah. You know, he's a very big chacham. I asked him. And the rabbi that made the wedding was an Ashkenazi rabbi. And the Ashkenazim, they have an Ashkenazi ketubah. Over there, the husband doesn't have to promise his wife that he would not marry a second woman. Why? Because by the Ashkenazim, they are under the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom. 1,000 years ago, 1,005 years ago, Rabbeinu Gershom made a decree in all over the countries of Europe. He was the chief rabbi. From now on, no man is allowed to marry more than one wife. One, that's it. You got divorced, you can get married again. You still have a wife, you cannot marry a second wife. That was the decree of all the Ashkenazim. It's been already for more than 1,000 years. Cherem. Cherem means it puts a person like this in a ban. So, therefore, the Ashkenazim don't write in a ketubah that the chatan venishbala betkiat kaf, that the chatan is swearing to his wife with a handshake, meaning it's swearing, mamash, an official agreement. Handshake, it's official agreement in the Torah. That he will never agree to take another woman besides her. Meaning, if she will refuse to accept a get, he wants to give her a get, wants to divorce her, she says, I don't want. I want shalom bayit, I don't want a get. I want to go to the rabbis and make peace. She refused, but he wants to already go married to someone else. As long as she refused to get the get, he's still married, he cannot marry another woman. He has to first divorce her. But she refused. She played games. She ran away. Where is she? Nobody knows. She's hiding in Zimbabwe. Go and find her now. He's stuck. So what happened? the Ashkenazi rabbi, he brought an Ashkenazi ketubah. But the Sfaradim, since they are not under the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, so it's ketubah Sfaradit, that the husband swear to his wife that he will not take another woman. It could be critical. So my cousin, which is a very big Sfaradi chacham, he looked at the ketubah that is about to sign as a witness, and he saw that it's not ketubah for Sfaradi. So he came to me quietly. This is a perfect example how a chacham has to behave. He came to me quietly on the side, whisper in my ear, the ketubah is not good for your friend. Tell your friend, it's our obligation to tell him, because he's ignorant, he doesn't know about this thing. Tell him that it's an Ashkenazi ketubah, and it's different than the one he needs. And if he agrees, so we'll wait 15 minutes, we'll go here, we were in a city that there's a lot of rabbis, we can get ketubah Sfaradi, it's no big deal. If he will not take it, he will make a big deal out of it, don't pursue. Leave it like this. Don't make arguments right now. It will be worse to start arguing now in front of all the people. So if we'll accept it quietly on the side, tell me right away, we'll organize another ketubah. If not, let it go. I came to him. In the end, he asked that Ashkenazi rabbi. He said, it's okay, you can sign on it. In the end, he signed on it. What was the end? He got divorced. Maybe because of that, maybe not. We don't know. It's only Hashem knows. But the idea was that sometimes, you know, when you find that if you pursue, it will create machloket, you let go. Same thing in Shabbat, you're not allowed to give aliyah to mechalel Shabbat to the Torah. Someone who drives the car on Shabbat, even if he drives to shul, according to the law of the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah, you're not allowed to give him aliyah to the Torah. Not allowed. Why? Because the Torah says that he's considered like a goy, and you don't give aliyah to the Torah like a goy. You don't give. You can give him pichat haichal, you can give him to carry the Torah and to arise the Torah. Things like this you can give him. Aliyah, you're not allowed to give him. But what happened if this person is an angry person with a dirty mouth, that he's going to try to buy aliyah and you won't let him go up, and he begins to scream and to push chairs? There are people like this. Give him aliyah. It's against the law. To have a fight in a shul, it's more against the law. To make peace, let him go up. What you do after him, you bring another person to go up to the Torah. Instead of 7, you make it 8. That's called mosifim. Like it is, you have 7 kosher people. As long as it's not going to be machloket. Who said it? Rav Ovadia Yosef. Im yesh eva, if it's going to create sinah, hatred. Some secular Jews, they have good personality. They want to get aliyah. You tell them, listen, forgive us. You know, the law does not allow to give aliyah to mechalel Shabbat. Oh, okay, I didn't know. No problem. Some, what do you mean? Ma, I'm not a Jew. No, you're a Jew, but according to the Torah, if you're not Shomer Shabbat, you cut yourself for now out of Judaism until you do tshuva. No, what is this? I'm going to get aliyah. In Israel, you know how they say it? Ani kabel aliyah ba'abu abu, ani kabel aliyah. You're not going to tell me if to get or not. What are you going to do? Fight with him now? Yeah. That's what they do. They let the one that I read in the Torah to say it quietly with him. So he's counting one of the olim. There's other ways around it. Bottom line, I just wanted to show you the idea is not to create machloket, not to create fight inside the shul. And just before we finish, we have 2 more minutes left. So, the Rabbi Shneur Zalman in the book of Tanya, in Igeret HaTshuva, chapter 12, in the name of the Ramban, 1 hour in Gehenom is worse than, 1 hour in hell is worse than 70 years of suffering of Yov. And that's why when you see these people that fight their religion and hurt the reputation of the rabbis, this is one of the biggest crimes in the entire Torah in life. And they do it constantly every day for years. imagine what they're going to get. Just try to imagine how many millions of years they're going to pay for their sins. Try to think. If 1 hour over there is worse than 7 years of the suffering of Yov, what will be the end of these wicked people? That's why you have nothing to be upset that they're not getting punished now. If they get punished now, what punishment they'll get? The worst punishment you can think of is nothing compared to what they're going to get. So why you want to give them a discount? They deserve to get what they deserve to get. They don't deserve discount. So that's how Hashem does it. When he sees someone that is not evil, he was fooled, he's not so clever, he helps him out. Somebody will open up his eyes and he's going to do tshuva. But those people, the Satan takes over their neshama, their heart. It's like bad spirit gets into them and take over their personality and life, and that's it. From that moment on, like Paro, Akshet Libo. There's nothing you can talk. Talking to them is like talking to the wall. And the last thing for today, Maase haya be'adam ba'al isurim kashim umarim. One person had horrible suffering. Sheba lifnei ba'al chidushi harim. Hundreds of years ago. Ve'shealo, האם משום שקשה לו לסבול איסורים כה קשים, מותר לו לאבד את עצמו לדעת? He came to the חידושי הערים, to the Rav, and said to him, Rabbi, I suffer so much, I want to commit suicide. Do I have permission? I cannot take the suffering. I can't take the suffering. Do you give me permission to kill myself? At least he had ירד שמיים. He came to ask the Rabbi to give him a permission to kill himself. You understand? ענה לו הרב זצ"ל, if you're sure that in the next world you're going to have less suffering than what you have now, you're allowed. Do you hear what a smart answer he gave him? You want to run away from your suffering in this world? In Hebrew it's called מהפח אל הפחת. From a small garbage can into a much bigger garbage can you're falling. Deeper. You're not running away from suffering. You're going into much worse suffering. That's why next time when you suffer in this world, close your eyes and imagine a huge wall. Huge white wall. Huge. So many black stains on it. Stain, 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 dirt, all over. And now the pain that you have, it's like a sponge coming. One line became white. And another line became white. And slowly, slowly, finally, the whole wall became white. That's called, Im yalbino chataechem kasheleg. Your sins will become white like snow. The suffering is the number one cleanser. Cleans the neshama, the soul. The suffering. That's why people that suffer a lot before they die, that's a very good sign for them. I had an uncle, he wasn't such a good person. He wasn't religious, that's for sure, but even as a secular person, he had a lot of history. But the last 10 of years of his life, he sat on a wheelchair and suffered horrible suffering. 10 years of suffering. He couldn't talk anymore. Every time he saw people come to the room, he started to cry. Nobody knew what's going on with him. He couldn't talk, became mute. Never saw such thing. And what happened? He passed away. 10 years of suffering like this, very possible, clean away all his sins on his life. Everything. Imagine if he wouldn't get these 10 years. What would happen to him in the next world? At least now, it came and cleaned him from all the history of his thing. So, you should know that the rest of the words of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the Tzaddik, it say, "Lefi she'olam hazeh chesed ibane." This world is a world of kindness, chesed. Uveisurim kalim ba'olam hazeh, in small suffering in this world, nitzol midinim kashim shel gehenom. He gets saved from horrible suffering in hell, in Gehenom. Little suffering over here, you lost $1,000, two tickets, pain, ulcer, migraines. You can live with that. It's not the end of the world. I mean, it's not comfortable, but it takes away a lot of suffering in Gehenom. You understand? If a person is clean from sins, if Hashem loves him very much, he gives him suffering anyway. Why? He's clean. He doesn't have sins. Why he needs suffering? There's nothing to clean. The wall is all white. Why? כדי להרבות שכרו בעולם הזה. You don't need the suffering only to clean the sins. No. You can also receive it to multiply, to triple, to give you 10 times more reward in the next world. Being righteous with suffering or being righteous without suffering is not the same reward. Nothing to compare. So the little suffering that you get here, paralyzed, wheelchair, all kinds, you cannot see, enemies are torturing you, all kinds of things like this. And you clean 100%, you don't have suffering. You don't have sins. Your olam haba become better by the moment. One way or the other, remember what I say here, we'll conclude with that. Suffering, in a way, is the greatest gift that a person can get. And if somebody thinks he's making you suffer and he's happy about it, he doesn't know one thing. He prepared himself a horrible suffering in the future to come. And he cleans you from any possible punishment in the future to come. So he's actually destroying himself twice. Once by losing his olam haba. And second, when he will see how great your olam haba would be thanks to him, he will pull his hair off. They will show him, you see where he is in heaven? It's all thanks to you. Remember how you fought him and spread lies about him and constantly, yaradta lechayav, look, thanks to you, how many levels is higher. Imagine this. Huh? Eliyahu Navi came to one person, he said to him, well, I'm going to give you whatever you want in one condition. Whatever I give your enemy double. What did he say? Take one of my eyes. Take one of my eyes out. Like this, you give him double. You take both of his eyes. He's going to suffer all his life without one eye. But his friend suffer more because he doesn't have two eyes. He's happy. One eye. It's hard with one eye. You lose balance. He's very happy. Why? The other one doesn't have at all now. He goes like this. At least I can see. You understand evilness of people, how far it goes? So, one way or the other, conclusion, sometimes a person has a lot of suffering and is in agony and pain. ולא עולה בידו לצאת מהמצב הזה. He cannot get out of this situation. הקדוש ברוך הוא מביא לו איסורים, הוא משכיח את כל צרותיו ודאגותיו. והאיסורים עוברים ולא מרגיש בהם. Sometimes you worry. You don't really have suffering, but you worry, you don't have money. In 6 months you have to marry your daughter, you don't know where to start. So you worry, you're eating your heart, you're constantly in fear, what's going to be. All of a sudden, Hashem sends the person a sickness. Mr. X, come to my office, we found something. Right away, surgery, chemo. You worry now about the wedding? Forget about it. What's going to be with your daughter's wedding? What are you even talking about this now? I have other things to worry about. Bottom line, the conclusion of this shiur. When you get suffering, it's not bad. It's always good. It's either cleaning your sins, number one. If you don't deserve suffering because you don't have sins, it makes your olam haba much better. It's the greatest gift. So why do you complain so much? Why we complain? From now on, no more complaints. Everything, thank you Hashem, thank you, I know it could have been a lot worse. We'll see you Bezrat Hashem next Wednesday, 8 o'clock. Thank you very much. Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen ve'amen.